Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, Buckeye fans, and welcome to another episode of the Bucknuts Happy Hour. I'm Patrick Murphy with Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports, and we've got a spring game, pre-spring game edition of the Happy Hour today. We're going to talk what we've seen in spring practice, kind of recap that, some of what we saw from the final open practice of spring, which took place today on Friday, and then look ahead to Saturday's spring game at the Horseshoe. And what we're expecting, what we hope to see, those type of things. First, though, let's get down to the real business. We're drinking a Pacifico today. I'm pretending that it's nice and warm here in Columbus, Ohio. Ooh, maybe we're not. I thought this was a twist off. I'm gonna have to open that here in a minute. But we'll get to that. So let's start it off here by bringing in Dave Biddle, my colleague. We're gonna be joined by Steve Hellwagon here shortly. Steve just got back from attending a funeral earlier, so he's getting settled, and then he'll jump on with us here in a little bit. Dave, let me ask you this question that may be relevant here in a minute. Can you name the four true freshman quarterbacks who have started a game for Ohio State that true freshman year?
Art Schleister would That's be one. One. So definitely, so Braxton Miller would have been another. Terrell yep. Pryor.
Yep.
Would have been another.
The fourth one's weird. Kyle McCord, you got it.
I'm surprised I actually got that.
Right. Yeah. I had to think about it earlier. I like looked it up. I was like, I know there's more than those three. And it's like, oh yeah, Kyle started that one game for CJ. We'll get into why that is relevant here in a little bit. But Dave, let's go back and kind of take what we've seen, what we've heard from the first 13 spring practices, I guess it was. What would you say is probably the biggest thing that kind of stood out to you from start to almost finish here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that you can make a salient argument about, but I talked about this on our podcast this morning. We're sitting here at the very end of spring ball, and we're having a legit discussion about whether true freshman Julian Sand might be the starting quarterback of this team. And not like a Lloyd Christmas dumb and dumber, like, you know, 0.00000001%. Like, you're telling me there's a chance. Like a legit chance. Like, I still think you know, if I was a betting man, not that I would ever bet on sports.
Don't you do a show on sports betting?
I don't know anything about that. I wouldn't advise. I'd advise again. Even if I did do a show, I wouldn't listen to it. Yeah, I happen to do co-host a twice a week sports gambling show here in Columbus. But yeah, man, I still think Will Howard's going to be the starting quarterback when they trot out there against Akron in the season opener. But the fact that Julian Sand is making this like a legit conversation, I never saw that coming. Speaking of gambling, I would have lost a lot of money betting that you would be sitting here the day before the spring game saying like, wait, this is like an actual thing. Like, this is not like some pipe dream. He actually is in the mix. Yeah, he actually is. So I would say that's the biggest story. But there's been a few others, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the ones I thought of. Jeremiah Smith, we'll talk about him when we talk about the practice you and I were at today. But, I mean, look, there have been a lot of really talented wide receivers in this program. They've had a lot of hype going into their freshman seasons. I don't think any of them had anything similar to what we have heard, what we've seen from a guy like Jeremiah Smith. Guy's making crazy catches. He's beating more veteran corners than him. I wrote today in our practice report, he's made Buckeye fans forget that they lost Marvin Harrison Jr., which is impressive because Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft or something right around there. So, to come in as a true freshman, obviously he was ranked as the number one player in the country, not just the top receiver, but he has lived up to the billing and then some. And look, it's just practice. We'll see how he does in the spring game tomorrow. I imagine he'll look pretty good. Obviously, you've got to do a lot of different things as a receiver and for Brian Hartline, but I don't know how you keep this kid off the field, Dave. To me, he looks like a bona fide star in the making, or you know, maybe it's not even in the making at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying that he's going to be in the top four for sure, which basically means you're a starter, whether you're out there with the top three or not. I mean, occasionally they might start four receivers at a time. The point is, if you're in that top four, you're going to play a lot under Brian Hartline. If you're fifth or sixth, you might be on the outside looking in. And then I'll have people that I trust very much, Patrick, that'll reach out to me and be like, he ain't just going to be in the top four. He's challenging for WR1. And listen, to me, that's Emeka Ebuka's mantle, but just the fact that, you know, Jeremiah Smith has pretty much, from everything I've heard, everything I've seen, has, you know, etched it in stone that he's going to be a starter as a true freshman when he's joined. I mean, and this is, again, it's a star-studded wide receiver room. It's not like he's coming in and like, oh, yeah, like he is the number one, like, recruit in the nation regardless of position. So, but at Ohio State, we've seen it time and time again where it's so tough for a true freshman wide receiver to play. So he is going to buck that trend. Again, from everybody that I talk to, everybody that I trust, and things that we've seen for ourselves, including again today. You know, he's out there mossing guys. Sometimes he might have been barely out of bounds, and then another one was a touchdown. You saw one before I even got there when I was finishing the Bucknuts Morning Five, or maybe I was en route. So, yeah, man, he's one of those guys, Patrick, that, like, you wonder, like, coming into spring, like, is Jeremiah Smith going to live up to expectations? Like, and then, in my opinion, if anything, he's exceeded them, which is pretty crazy considering where that bar was set.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am one to be very hesitant to overhype freshman players at a place like Ohio State where there's always good players, so you don't necessarily need the freshman to play right away. And we've seen it in this receiver room. I mean, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, all these guys kind of took their time. Now, Garrett and Chris played towards the end of their freshman year. Jackson played some his freshman year. But, I mean, Marvin hardly played until the Rose Bowl. You know, that was that breakout game. And then, obviously, these guys go on to have great sophomore seasons and whatnot. But to see what Jeremiah Smith has done thus far, even I can't sit back here and say like, oh, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on this guy. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me was when we talked to Brian Hartline earlier this spring and he was saying, you know, I like the way he does this. I like the way he does that. I like the way he asks questions when he doesn't know something. You know, Brian Hartline is not one to talk about guys that he thinks are not going to really be a part of the rotation. I think that was a sign right there and then that Jeremiah Smith was already impressing.
I like the way he lives.
Yeah, that's right. What
It was all he was a series of things. You nailed on. So it was like that. Really, that jumped out at me as well, Patrick. Like, I love the way he lives. I like the way he prepares. Like, I liked it. It wasn't just I like the way that he's 6'5", 215, and he's Optimus Prime out there. The obvious stuff. It was like, I like the way he lives. How often do we hear a coach say that? Like, not very often. How often do we hear it about a true freshman that should still be in high school? I don't know. I could probably count it on one hand, maybe, if that. I keep saying the same thing, but it's like, and I had a source tell me early in camp, I was like, all right, tell me, too much hype about JJ Smith. Should I pump the brakes on the hype train? No, he said no. And this is a very grounded, like, will pump the brakes on the hype train a lot. Said, no, you might want to get on the bullet train with this young man. So you can't hear a negative word. You can't find anybody to say a negative word about him. Every time we're out there, he's balling out. So, will he ball out tomorrow? I do think he will. I'm glad the fans are going to get a chance to see number four. He's impressive.
Bringing in Steve Hellwagon here. If you're watching this on the live feed, Steve's looking classy, as I mentioned. Just finished up at a funeral, so we're going to try and raise the mood a little bit here for you, Steve. Bring up some Buckeye talk. I know you were listening into some of that there. What has stood out to you maybe the most, or maybe something that we haven't quite touched on from spring practice?
I think the defense is going to carry over how good they were for most part last year to this season. I think there's plenty of depth at a lot of these positions, particularly up front on the defensive line. I think you have impact defensive tackles, which they probably haven't had in a few years, with Ty Hamilton, Tyleek Williams, I think really stepping up to the forefront. Hero Canoe has made a little bit of a move. Will Smith Jr. is in the hunt there to play. Caden McKenzie is a stud, I think, potentially. Caden McDonald. I'm bullish on what I see on the defensive side of the ball. Offense, I'm going to assume that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day are going to put together a plan that really takes full advantage of all the playmakers that they have on that side of the ball. And, like the day we were there, probably the play that stood out to me the most was Judkins coming out of the backfield on the circle route and catching the pass, and the linebacker screwed up the coverage and he was gone for 70 yards. And, that happens in the blink of an eye. And not only that, as I pointed out at the time, we had a picture from Dan Harker, Travion Henderson's in the background with his finger up going, my boy's going the distance. He's going for speed. So, that's Ohio State football. Is when it's all for one and one for all, and they just kick people's asses. That's what Ohio State's got to get back to, and it doesn't matter who gets the credit. It's the team that gets the credit, and in this era of NIL and transfer portal and everything else, it's hard to breed that culture, but that is what I think this team is going to have in spades this coming season, is that they're going to do it for one another. And that's what I've seen quite a bit of this spring.
You mentioned the running backs. I think we should touch on them because I think it's kind of been lost in the shuffle a little bit, because it's like we know they're going to be pretty good when you have those two studs. Obviously, you lose Dallin Hayden, or they will lose Dallin Hayden, who was not at practice today. We had reports on 24/7. I know they were elsewhere about Dallin entering the transfer portal. Dave, what do you make of this backfield? Obviously, you have your top two guys. You lose that guy who is the third running back. Then you've got some freshmen. You've got TC Caffey. How do you feel about this group now that we're almost all the way through spring?
Yeah, I think they've got the best 1-2 punch in college football, in my opinion, in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. I think a lot of people share that opinion. We'll see if that materializes. But on paper, it's crazy. You got two guys that have almost – have the exact amount of career rushing yards, same amount of career rushing yards, right around 2,750 yards each. 3 years for Travion, 2 years for Quinshon, but obviously Trey's been banged up. So early this season, both those guys are going to go over 3,000 yards each in their career, which is crazy. That's got to be the only tandem in college football that's going to be doing that. That being said, I'd like to see another scholarship running back added. The young man from UMass, who will be a sixth-year senior who's in the portal, young man from Ohio, I think he'd be a good fit. And when I say get a running back in the portal, I'm looking not a guy that's going to challenge Quinshon and or Travion for that one or 1B spot, because those guys are going to, you know, those guys, if they stay healthy, are going to basically split those reps 50-50. And then I thought Dallin obviously would be that number three guy. Now, you know, TC Caffey, who is a heck of a walk-on, you know, they might elevate him to scholarship. Regardless, it's nice having number 28 out there. And then James Peoples, again, I mean, we were out there today. He was looking pretty quick out there today. I'm curious to see tomorrow. I love that we're going to see some real tackling, my friends. It's easy. People ask, like, how's, you know, Gabe Powers look? You know, well, he looks good. I'd like to see him actually – how's he look when he has to bring somebody to the ground? How's James Peoples look? He looks good. How's he going to look when he has to try and break tackles, you know? So, but, you know, James Peoples looks good. And now, you know, James Peoples, you know, we were talking out there today, all of a sudden number 20 – your role, whatever you thought it was, just got elevated a little bit. We still don't know exactly where it's going to be. You could take Dallin Hayden out of the mix. James Peoples is that next man up. You still have Sam Williams Dixon. But again, I think they need to add one more guy just for depth purposes, because in my opinion, you want five scholarship tailbacks. And you can say, well, TC Caffey basically is a scholarship tailback. I get that. Just for depth, I'd like to see one more guy.
Steve, we were talking briefly about Julian Sain. Dave listed the four freshman quarterbacks that have started a game for Ohio State. What do you think? This is a team that is set to compete for a national championship this year, at least on paper. What is your thought on if they start a freshman quarterback? Is that a positive to do that, especially if he's a very talented guy? Or is this the type of situation where, look, go with the veteran and let the rest of the team do it, so you don't have maybe some freshman mistakes? How do you kind of read that situation?
Man, what a tough situation and a good situation to be in, I guess. Yeah. It says that Sain has stepped up and addressed and met the challenge, you know, in his first spring at Ohio State. We honestly don't know what the coaches think about Devin Brown and Will Howard and how consistent that they've been. I think with Sain, that would be the question as a freshman, is how consistent can you be as a true freshman? You know, we saw it with Braxton Miller. He'd have a good game and kind of a up and down game. Same thing with Terrell Pryor that year, although those guys could rely on running the football when they were in a really tight squeeze. So, you know, I think it was Ryan Day the other day, or it was somebody else, said that the players know who should be playing and who should not be playing. And so if one person in that group has been the overall best and it's pretty obvious, then they're going to rally behind that person when they get their chance to play. I just think that that's kind of the natural progression of things. I mean, you're asking me a question that I honestly can't answer because I haven't seen all 14 practices to say that is the guy, you know, but it looks like they've got three guys they can win with. I mean, honestly, that's what it looks like from the outside. And I think what will hopefully happen is that they will decimate the first three teams that they play, and all three guys will get some type of an opportunity to show what they can do. And I think that's important, because Coach did make the point that in 2014, when they won the national championship, they needed three quarterbacks. I mean, Braxton didn't play. He practiced till 2 weeks before the first game, and then, what was it, blew his shoulder out or whatever. And so then JT, on 2 weeks' notice, had to take over. And then JT went down in the Michigan game, and Cardale had to finish it. So, you know, you're going to need more than one guy, particularly when they want to run the quarterback, put the quarterback in harm's way, and potentially, you know, it's late third quarter and your starter, you know, just kept it. He got you the first down, but he's getting up, he's a little gimpy, and you got to take him out of the game for a play or two. You got other options. So I think that that is completely a positive thing. I think you wouldn't want to put Julian Sain in first time sight unseen at Oregon. I think you would want, if he has to play in a high leverage situation like that, that you would get that out of the way against whoever these three schlubs are. I know Marshall's one of them, whoever these schlubs are.
Akron and Western Michigan.
And then do they open Big Ten with Michigan State? Does that sound right?
At Michigan State, where Michigan State has not beaten Ohio State in East Lansing since 1999. And they ain't gonna party like it's 1999 this
Jonathan
year.
Jonathan Smith. They have John Smith as the head coach for the second time in school history. So that's a good thing.
Nick Saban was the coach the last time they beat Ohio State.
He's not walking through that door.
He's not even walking through the door in Tuscaloosa. Thank you very much, Caleb Downs and McLaughlin and Julian Sand. Nobody benefited more from Nick Saban retiring than Ohio State.
And Auburn, probably. So and LSU. And Texas A&M. Are they doing East West? Like, how are they doing that down there with Texas and Oklahoma coming in? And what are they doing? Are they just doing one division, or what are they doing?
I think it's just one division, like what the Big Ten's going to do.
Because somebody from the West would have to go to the East to balance it out.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing, but I won't
Why is Missouri in the East? Missouri is already in the East. That makes no sense, but whatever.
Yeah. Dave, you said earlier you think Will Howard is the day one starter. What if he's not? If you're Will Howard and you come out of spring ball here and, you know, say Ryan Day sits you down Sunday, Monday, whenever they meet again and says, you know, you've done some good things. Devin's done some good things. Julian's done some good things. You know, it's close, or maybe even Devin's a little ahead. You're Will Howard. You have one season left. He came back to be a starter. That transfer portal opens on Tuesday. Any chance you think Will Howard straight back into the portal after 3 months at Ohio State?
I mean, any chance? I'd put that at the Lloyd Christmas, you know, 0.0. Like, there is a chance, but a very, very, very slim one. I do think Will Howard's going to stick around. And, again, I'm not going to throw it out there, but I know what he's making like via NIL, and like it's not a small amount. So I think he's going to stick around. I'm sure the coaches are telling him, like, listen, if you're not the starter, we'll make sure that you're involved. Like, we're going to need – Ryan Day seems convinced. We've been talking about – Steve talked about this. Patrick, you've talked about this. I've talked about this. Steve was just talking about this a couple minutes ago. I definitely get the feeling they're going to need more than one guy this year at the quarterback position. I know Ryan Day feels that way. He's made that clear. Now, if they go through, if they Will Howard wins the job or whoever wins the job, name it, and he goes through the years, goes 16-0, no one's going to complain about that, obviously. But, like, even C.J. Stroud's, as we talked about earlier, even C.J. Stroud's first year as the starter, he got banged up at the shoulder. Kyle McCord started a game that year as a true freshman. So they're going to need more than one guy. I will be surprised if Will Howard transfers. Very surprised. I won't be surprised if Devin Brown transfers. I won't be surprised if Aaron Nolan transfers. I think, you know, I mean, Julian Sands made this very, very interesting. But to answer your question, Patrick, I would be very surprised if Will Howard transfers.
All right, let's talk offensive line. I think we know two of the five positions pretty confidently with Josh Simmons and Donovan Jackson at left tackle and left guard. Steve, I'll go to you. You've got two guys that have started in the past at center, Seth McLaughlin at Alabama the last year and a half, Carson Hinsman in Columbus last season. When we were out there today, it was both of those guys got reps with the first and second team, but Carson Hinsman also played a little guard. How do you feel like the center competition has gone? And then, Dave, I'll talk to you about that right side of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think that it's McLaughlin's job to lose, I would think. I mean, he's got 3 years of starting experience or 2.5 years of starting experience, whereas Hinsman, did a bang-up job, I thought, overall last year. You know, it's one of the great mysteries of the world how your offensive line completely falls apart in the bowl game and you cut your nose off to spite your face by holding that guy out of the game. I'm confused, and we'll never know the full story. You know, were they mad at him because of the podcast? Was he really having problems snapping the ball? You know, he's been a good soldier through it and said he supported the coach's decision. He's had to swallow a lot of bad medicine here since about middle of December. So, you know, having his job taken away for the game and now his job taken away for his third year at Ohio State. So I think they're throwing him a bone, letting him play a little bit of guard. But I didn't get a lot of warm and fuzzies from Ryan Day about the right guard position. He kept saying right side, a little unsettled. But then in the other side of his mouth, he'd say how Fryer has revolutionized his body and he's more athletic and lean and mean and got him on the right diet. And, you know, like he was talking up Fryer, but, you know, the day we were there, Montgomery was getting a lot of the reps, the sophomore at right guard, and something just isn't adding up, whether it's right guard isn't settled or what. But it seems like Fryer is settled. Seems like, well, obviously Donovan Jackson is settled and Simmons is settled. So, I'm open, guys. I don't care what the names are. Just got to play great. It doesn't matter who it is. Just got to get the job done. This has been last year was a disaster. And, you know, any way you want to cut it, those guys just, I mean, you look at the points scored. They're down like 10 points from the year before. I mean, and it ain't the quarterback. And, you know, people put it on the quarterback. It wasn't the quarterback. It was the offensive line. Couldn't run the ball when you needed to run the ball. Put too much pressure on the quarterback, in my opinion. I thought that guy had a decent enough year. Now, is he what they've had at quarterback in recent years? No, he certainly wasn't. But to lay it all at his feet, nope, I'm not one bit doing that. So I don't care who it is. Just play great football. Get back. This is a make or break a year for Justin Fry, in my opinion. He's got to deliver the best offensive line or one of the best offensive lines in the Big Ten this year. There's just no screwing around, no pricking around about it anymore. It's a results-driven business. As Luke Fickell used to say, it's very evaluation-friendly. Either you get it done or you don't. And it's time to put up or shut up with the offensive line at Ohio State.
I was at the first night of the coaches clinic last night, and Chip Kelly did a presentation on the run game and specifically the offensive line. And he was talking about how you have to keep it simple for these guys. And he was like, the guy's there, you block him. It's as simple as that. When you're, you know, if you're uncovered, unless you have, you know, a specific job you're doing or whatever, you block him. And I was like, well, that seems simple enough. Why don't more guys just do that? Right. Like that seems pretty easy. Dave, what are your thoughts on that right side of the offensive line? And I'll throw this in there. Do you think the transfer portal is still a viable thing that Ohio State may look at for an offensive lineman once it opens here next week?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I would put money on that they will land an offensive lineman for the portal, but I absolutely know that they'll be, you know, keeping their options open. As Coach Day said, you know, when we asked him about it, we actually had a chance to have like a exclusive Q&A with him yesterday on Bucknuts, you know, via Spaces on Twitter. And, you know, he said, listen, we're always looking to fill holes, you know, via the portal. And he made clear holes does not necessarily mean a starter. It doesn't even necessarily mean the top backup. It could mean like a depth guy. That's why I go back to like, you know, I think the UMass, you know, running back transfer is like the perfect example. His name is K'Ron Lynch Adams. K'Ron Lynch Adams was a fifth-year senior at UMass this past year, has one more year left, rushed for a UMass D1 record, at least, FBS record, UMass school record of over 1,200 yards, young man from Ohio. That's exactly what I'm talking about for running back. Now, with offensive line, it'd be great to bring somebody in who you're like, okay, we've got our Jonah Jackson, a guy, you know, it's not going to come in here and be a first-team All-American, but a guy that's going to come in here, end up being a really good first, like one-year starter. Jonah Jackson ended up being, of course, a third-team or a third-round pick, and now he's making a ton of money in the NFL on his second contract.
With the Los Angeles Rams. So a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's making tons of money. So are they going to get a Jonah Jackson? I'd bet against it, but are they going to like try to find one? I do believe so. And then just how does Ryan Day feel about the right side of the line? You know, Steve talked about this a little bit. You can tell he's not sold, but he's definitely more optimistic than he was last year at this time. Sounds like they do like Fryer. I hear what Steve's saying about Montgomery. I still feel like Ryan Day is probably a little higher on Montgomery maybe than Steve thinks. Reasonable people can disagree. But Tegra is in the mix there too. Tegra Shibola is absolutely in the mix. He was getting reps out there again. A lot of reps. I got there today. And Pat told me right away, Tegra's getting a lot of reps at right guard today. So Tegra's in the mix too. So nothing settled there on the right side. But I would bet heavy that Montgomery and Fryer will be the starters. And I think McLaughlin will be the starting center as well.
I Don't know if there's a ton to talk about on the defensive side of the ball, but I think we should address that. Steve, you touched on it a little bit earlier. This group should carry over. You lose your two linebackers. I think that's probably the biggest question is the Will linebacker spot. CJ Hicks has been the guy taking the first team reps when we've been there. You bring in Caleb Downs. You know, you mentioned Dave earlier about benefiting from Alabama. That may be the biggest benefit, at least this year, of all of them. Just Josh Proctor out, Caleb Downs in, not a bad trade. Anything other than linebacker that concerns you, Steve, on the defensive side of the ball, or do you think it's just kind of keep rolling on what you did last year?
I can't think of anything that's got me too broken up. I think what you want to see when they get into the fall, JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer and Tyleek Williams, they came back to improve their draft stock. And to do that, they need to produce. They need to change games. It can't just be that one game at Penn State 2 years ago that everybody remembers about JT Tuimoloau. He needs to do some facet of that week in and week out, every week, and be an All-American. And maybe I'm putting too much on him, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. They've been good. They've been good. That one day he was that's the best – game any Ohio State defensive player statistically has ever had, period, over and out, with everything he did on that one single day at Penn State. I'm not saying every game needs to look like that. What I'm saying is he needs to be consistently great. And that means don't have a sack in week one and don't come back for 5 weeks until you have another sack. That means consistently impact the opposing offense week after week in the run game. Coverage, the pass game, batting down passes, making negative plays, just making life miserable. You didn't have to be Chase Young. It just got to be great. You know, it just – I mean, Chase Young is on the pantheon, you know, with a Bosa. I mean, it no one's saying you got to be that, but you got to be damn near that this year. Both of them. And Williams, too. It's time. It's time. They came back for a specific reason, and that was to win it all – and to improve their draft stock. And now they got to go out and do it. And we need to see it from the first game. You need to feel their presence from the too often last year. You'd be like, third quarter, is JT Tuimoloau playing in this game? You know, it's got to be a consistent thing. If you want to be regarded as an All-American, you got to play like an All-American. Linebacker, they haven't had prep All-American linebackers at Ohio State in years. CJ Hicks might be, you know, the first one at that high ranked level that's coming up to Ohio State in a while, and he needs to play.
Raekwon McMillan, maybe.
Yeah, Raekwon. It's been
Raekwon McMillan. Yeah,
7-8 years. I mean, Baker was good. I think
Baron Browning was ranked super high. He was the number one. I know he was misused at Ohio State, as we're now seeing in the NFL. It's a little frustrating when a guy like is better in the NFL than he was at Ohio State, and it wasn't his fault. He was just misused. But yeah, Baron Browning was ranked, I believe, as the number one linebacker in the country. But your point is salient, Steve. That was still what, like the 2017 class?
16, 17, yeah.
17 class, yeah. Yeah.
I want to see Sonny Styles play up at that level. That would be my biggest misgiving on the defense, is that the guys who've been national top 50 players coming out of high school haven't played like national top 50 players at Ohio State yet. And it's time. Hicks, it's time. You know, it's time. Play up to that level, and that's when you know you'll have a special defense.
Dave, I'm going to flip that question a little bit to you. What is the thing you're most excited about this defense?
Oh, wow. Man, it's hard not to say the defensive line. I'm going to go the secondary, because I've said this a lot. Like, there are a few secondaries that come to mind immediately when I talk about best secondaries I've seen at Ohio State. To me, 1996 is the gold standard. You have Sean Springs at one corner, who wins defensive player of the year in the Big Ten, had zero interceptions because no one wanted to throw number 24's way, and then was like the number three overall pick of the draft. That's your number one corner. Your number two corner is Ty Howard, really good as a senior. they're so good at corner. A guy named Antoine Winfield is a sophomore, was the number three corner, was the nickel corner. Then you have Damon Moore and you have Rob Kelly as your safeties. I mean, that to me is the gold standard. And then 2016 checks in, like, oh, I think we're the gold standard. You know, you've got like first-round corners, first-round safeties all over the place. You've got, you know, you've got Gerrion Conley out there. You've got Marshawn Lattimore out there. You've got a guy named Denzel Ward coming off the bench. As again, a lot like Antoine Winfield, coming off the bench as a sophomore as your number three corner. And then you've got Malik Hooker out there at safety. Who was the other safety? Was it Damon Webb?
Yeah,
that sounds right. Yeah, so 2016, also very good. 2019, also very good. Okuda and the boys, right?
John Wade. Okay.
Dare I say, guys, I'm putting this one right there with those and maybe above a few of those. I'm not putting it above my guys in 96 yet, but maybe not even above the 2016 guys who kept them in that Clemson game for like a half. The offense couldn't do anything. Like, it's like Ohio State's secondary kept them in the game for as long as they could, and the D-line. So, guys, when you look at it, I mean, when you look at Jermaine Matthews as a sophomore, is going to be your number four corner. You got Denzel Burke. You got Davis and Igbenosin as the top two corners. You got Jordan Hancock as the slot.
Calvin Simpson-Hunt. Corner.
And I love Jordan Hancock in that role. You got, yeah, Calvin Simpson-Hunt. And you got Lorenzo Styles is in that you know,
your
that
six corners role. Deep. Yeah.
And then you look at safety. I mean, my God, if you just had one of Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom to go with some of these other guys that I'm going to get to, you'd feel really good about safety. You have Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom as your starters. Now you have Malik Hartford as a backup. You have Jahad Carter, who was a really good starter at Syracuse. Now as a fifth-year senior, is going to be a backup. You've got Jaden Bonsu, who's on the come up. I mean, it's this secondary and just the coaching in general, I would say, with Jim Knowles being in his third year, James Laurinaitis bringing Guerrero in. You know, again, James Laurinaitis, a linebackers coach. But I will say there's a lot of things that I'm excited about this defense. I'm going to say it's the secondary, boys.
Let's turn our attention to this glorified scrimmage we will be at tomorrow. Look, we're all going to have takeaways from this game. And because it's a public thing, everyone's going to remember those throughout the rest of the offseason until we kick off fall camp and then the season. Steve, who are you most excited to see in a game-like atmosphere play in this game? Obviously, you know, taking into account, we were asked earlier, I wanted to address this real quick. Jim Graham asked, did they give you a format for the spring game? It's going to be offense versus defense, so we're not going to see, you know, the scarlet versus the gray or how they used to do it. But with that in mind, who are you excited to see out there on Saturday?
Well, the obvious ones are Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith. Everybody yeah. says that. James Peoples, I don't think you work the run game a whole lot in a situation like this, but it seemed to me like he was scratching the surface of being really good the day that we were there, I thought. So those three guys in particular, this Brandon Rogers is starting to come on. Bryson Rogers is starting to come on really good at wide receiver, and maybe he'll get a chance to make some plays. Just the young guys. And then you want to see on the offensive line, you know, as they get deeper into it, is it effective? Or are they just getting manhandled by the defensive line on too many occasions? And I think that, again, I need to see some growth and some progression by the offensive line to know that this team is in position to really do what they want to do this year. So, you know, they're going to throw the ball a lot tomorrow to give all the quarterbacks some reps. Maybe, you know, the two starters, you know, I say Brown and Howard called them the two starters, will probably get like 15 throws. And then the guys after that could each get 10 or 15 or more. And that would be cool too. So just get everybody a bunch of reps and let's just let the chips fall where they may. I mean, it's going to be supposedly the rain that's plagued us all week. All spring here in Columbus is supposed to push out. It's supposed to be a nice day. They had 51,000 tickets sold earlier in the week. Probably about 65,000 will be there when it's all said and done. National TV on Fox put on a show for everybody, and let's just see what happens.
Dave, same question for you. Anyone that Steve didn't mention that you are interested in seeing how they perform with fans watching and being in the shoe?
Oh, I mean, Steve might have mentioned him. Did you mention Tegra? Tegra's a guy.
In general mentioned the offensive line.
Yeah, the O-line. Yeah, a lot of guys in the O-line. Tegra's a guy that, you know, man, if he can at least be like a really good sixth man and push guys and perhaps be a starter, that'd be huge. And just depth is so important. Yeah, looking forward to seeing, as Steve said, some of the running backs. I don't know how much, you know, James Peoples is going to be tackled to the ground, but sounds like those guys will be tackled to the ground, which I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see some of the aforementioned DBs try and deal with J.J. Smith and some of these wide receivers. And, you know, I mean, quarterback, it's such low-hanging fruit. But and also, we have to take everything we see tomorrow with a grain of salt. People were not freaking out, but people were very, like, you know, critical of Justin Fields 5 years ago in 2019 after the spring game. And turned out he was pretty good. So
okay.
That's it with a grain of salt. But still is going to be interesting to see how these quarterbacks do tomorrow.
Yeah, I am a sort of a off-the-wall version of this answer. I'm interested to see Chip Kelly and how he runs this thing. And look, I don't know if we'll get to see a ton of what he will bring to this offense, but since you guys mentioned pretty much all of the guys I would have, you know, just what does Chip Kelly's offense look like? Can we start to pick some different things out of it, specifically in the run game? I don't think they'll run the quarterbacks much, though I do think that'll be a part of the offense. But, you know, maybe with the running backs, if we get some of that, what looks a little bit different? I noticed today at practice, they almost lined up in like a wing T, and the quarterback was lining up under the right guard, and then they were spin moving all to their left, and the quarterback would be under center, and the running backs in the backfield would all move. I don't know if that's just a thing in practice that they're doing. It was really early on just to like warm up and stuff. But it was interesting that I forgot to put that in our practice report, but I did notice it. All right. Last one, guys, and we'll get you out of here. We have talked in the past spring game MVPs. Often that doesn't translate over into the regular season, but who do you think comes out of this? And I'm going to take away Jeremiah Smith. No Jeremiah Smith. That's too easy. Who?
Bam Childress, Torian Washington Memorial Spring Game MVP.
I was going to let you hit on that. All right, Steve, who will be the MVP if it's not Jeremiah Smith coming out of tomorrow's game?
Goodness gracious. That's a tough one.
You go first while you think.
Go ahead.
As you said, Steve, I was going to say, like, and you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, it is the Bam Childress Award sponsored by Torian Washington. You know, maybe brought to you by
Justin Zwick.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, but seriously, so I think it's got to be a wide receiver. And so I'm going
to
a wide receiver who's young and people think is in the mix, but maybe won't play as much as people are saying because he won't be in the top four. Even though we're going to play all the top eight guys this year at wide receiver. Oh, yeah, okay. If you're not in the top four, you're in trouble, in my opinion. Top four being, in whatever order, Mecca Buka, J.J. Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis. I know Ennis is a little banged up right now, but he'll be fine for the season. Those are your top four. So I'm going with my Bam Childress / Torian Washington award winner is Bryson Rogers.
There you go.
Bryson Rogers.
I like that pick. I would say Carnell Tate is a candidate for this. And if he gets heavy reps, the guy from Maslin, who's never really found, you know, daylight at Ohio State,
Ballard,
you know, he made a couple plays at that student appreciation day practice. You're like, whoa, why isn't this guy ever get to play? So maybe he gets a few, Rod Farva wants to know when the Reds are moving CES down in the lineup and put Steer in the three hole, probably one day after they fire this dolt of a manager that we've got. I'm actually okay with David Bell, but
we need Earl Weaver to answer that question.
Well, CES is lucky to even be in freaking baseball.
Earl Weaver impersonations.
I thought we were going to make it through one of these without you guys talking about the damn Reds.
I'd rather not talk about them.
Chi Sox for three. We're getting healthy.
I was gonna say Jaden Ballard as well.
Let's put a little 20 each.
We can talk about that off air, Mr. I don't get sports gamble off the top.
I don't
sports
gamble. I do sometimes.
I don't sports gamble, but I like whips and chains. Whatever.
Serenaded by Steve Hellwagon there.
Keep going with little Jack Harlow there, right? I love it, you know?
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me. I will see you both tomorrow. Dave, are you doing a post-game show?
Yeah, and you guys are coming on with me. I haven't told you that yet, but you are.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll be doing it right there. I'll be doing it right there from the press box. Maybe we'll go in Ross Bjork's suite or whatever.
Yeah,
the Bjork suite. Yeah, what we learned live right after the spring game when Steve and Patrick are covering interviews, I will start the show, and then when they're done, they'll join me, and we'll talk some Ohio State football right after the spring game tomorrow.
Love it.
Live.
Awesome. And if you haven't gone back and listened to Dave, as you mentioned earlier, was part of the show with Ryan Day, Bucknuts exclusive interview with him, thanks to the foundation. That is still on Bucknuts. You can still do that. It's also wherever you're listening to this podcast. So it's out there. We'll recommend that you do that. Guys, thanks a bunch. I will see you both over at the shoe tomorrow. I'm excited.
All right, kids. Hey, see you later.
Some post-game pops, perhaps.
There you go.
We'll leave it at that. All right. Thanks to both those guys for jumping on. Obviously, busy time of the year with the spring game coming up on Saturday. Spring practice winding down. I did want to address, Dave touched on it a little bit, but Christopher Sowers, sorry if I mispronounced that, asked, how bad is the Innis injury? If you've missed it today when we were at practice, he was in a boot with a scooter, one of those scooters, leg up on the scooter, rolling around the field. We'll find out more when we talk to Ryan Day after the spring game, I imagine, but I wouldn't think that it would be too bad. Ryan Day has said that there's been some injuries, and Innis hasn't been always out there when we've been able to watch. But Ryan Day has said multiple times that none of these injuries are anything long-term. So assuming that the Innis injury hasn't gotten worse or anything since the last time Ryan Day addressed issues, I don't think that it is too bad. So I'm going to wrap up here. Want to give you guys a heads up. I will be out of the country next week. I am leaving Sunday to go to Europe with my girlfriend and another couple. We're going to take a break from, I'm going to take a break from Buckeye stuff for about a week, a little over a week, but I will be back the week after that. So there will be no Bucknuts happy hour next week. If you're on Bucknuts and you don't see me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just taking a week off to take a trip across the pond. So I will miss you all next week, but we've still got tomorrow. I'll have some stuff Sunday too. And then as Dave said, we'll be on the show after the spring game. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Please like, subscribe, all that good stuff on all of our channels. And if you're not a Bucknuts subscriber, I said this last week, now's a great time to do it. We're heading into the offseason. There's not going to be football. There's not going to be basketball, but there'll still be stuff to do. And you will get your most out of it by becoming a Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports subscriber. Cheers, everyone.
CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Finally, not Linda got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.